That banyan tree was 800 miles high and its branches spread over 600 miles around. The tree cast a fine shade which permanently cooled the temperature, yet there was no noise of birds. Purport. Generally in every tree there are bird nests and the birds congregate in the evening and create noise. But it appears that this banyan tree was devoid of nests and therefore it was calm, quiet and peaceful. There were no disturbances from noise or heat and therefore this place was just suitable for meditation. Umajnanat mirandasya jnanan janashavakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manavishtam tapitam yena matare svayam rupa kathamrityam dadati sarvadamrityam vandeham sri prabho sri karakamalam sri guru vaishnavamscha sri rupam sarajatam sahagananandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandanandan
Surrender unto him and beg for forgiveness.
Similarly, we in this material world, we are on a journey. And that journey is especially meant not for sense enjoyment, but for actually surrendering to the Supreme Lord. In Prabhupada's earlier verses mentions that one has to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, in this instance, because the offense is done at the feet of Lord Shiva, who is a devotee of the Lord, they are going to beg forgiveness at Lord Shiva's feet. Prabhupada writes in verse 7 of this chapter. Actually, the position of the subordinate is always to surrender to the Supreme. That is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. The Lord asks everyone to give up all kinds of concocted occupations and simply surrender unto Him. This will protect the conditioned souls from all sinful reactions. Similarly, in this case, Brahma also suggested that they go and surrender unto the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. For since He is very kind and easily satisfied, this action would prove effective. So, if we analyze the chapter 5 to this, Daksha cursing Lord Shiva, and then there's a conversation between Lord Shiva and Mother Sati. Then she was in a dilemma whether to be with the side of the husband or take the side of the father. And she decides to go meet her father, and we all know what happened. The next chapter title is Sati quits the body. Then naturally, when a person as exalted as Mother Sati leaves, there's going to be some commotion. So the next chapter title is frustration of the sacrifice of Daksha. So what started out as a cursing, now it is starting going in the direction of leading to frustration, and the frustration went to such an extent that the person who started the actual sacrifice lost his head. So when we are overcome by a particular emotion, then there will be a certain amount of reaction to it. Here, the entire journey of the demigods going and meeting Lord Shiva is due to because of a particular emotion which is exhibited by Daksha. Daksha playing the role of a conditioned person exhibited this emotion or quality or a habit which is called as pride. When we exhibit pride, Krishna takes us for a ride. And this particular ride is seemingly pleasant to the demigods. But if we analyze it, one of the persons who actually started the sacrifice is not with them at the moment when they are going towards Lord Shiva. He has lost his life, basically. It is to that extent Vaishnava Aparadha can lead one to. Prabhupada writes in one of the purpose, one's lifespan can also be reduced if one offends a Vaishnava. Now coming back to our analysis of how a conditioned soul in this material world is starting to approach the Supreme Lord and starts the journey towards the Lord for the purpose of surrender. Just as demigods are going and they are traversing the Kailash, seeing all beautiful scenes, but what is the purpose? It's to surrender. Now similarly, when the living entities are in that journey of surrender towards the Supreme Lord, they will be presented with temptations of various sense objects. Sense of seeing, touch, smell, and then attraction to the opposite gender. But simultaneously, there is also access to the lotus feet of the Lord. If you read the descriptions, one of the lakes in which Mother Sati had taken bath was actually Ganges. So the inhabitants of the Kailash have access to sense enjoyment, and they have access to purification by taking the water of Ganges on their head. They can choose either way. Similarly, the living entities, when they are on the journey, they are presented with sense objects, and they are also given easy access to the lotus feet of the Lord. This access they get through the association of the devotees, especially of the spiritual masters and other instructing spiritual masters, who actually carry various spiritual places within them. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. So such persons carry holy places within them, and seeing them and respecting them will actually make the journey more quicker, make the journey of our surrender to the Lord more quicker. Coming back to the reason why the entire journey is happening, as I mentioned earlier, is because of the aspect of pride that was exhibited by Daksha. So what I thought is, I'll focus on the aspect of pride and also other stumbling blocks that come in our journey towards surrender to the Supreme Lord. Before I start elaborating, personally, I still haven't overcome all these vices or stumbling blocks. In fact, if I start to give talk on pride, people may ask, look, who is talking? So I'm no way qualified, but for my own personal purification, I had a chance to read different aspects of this stumbling block, which is the first block one has to overcome, which is pride. And I thought I will share that with other devotees. Now here we see that there are various bathing ghats, and the lake is there, and there are bathing ghats, which means you have to step, go through those steps and take a bath. If you are actually standing outside the bathing ghats and you are expecting, okay, lake, come and bathe me, that's not going to happen. You have to step down, go into the lake and take a bath. Which means you're stepping down from your actual position of pride and taking a humble position and approaching the holy water to purify you, rather than expecting, oh, lake, come and bathe me. No, it's like we have to go and take a bath in the lake, and that's why the bathing ghats are there. And of the items of knowledge which Krishna describes, it is said as items of knowledge, and it begins with amanitvam, adambitvam, humility and pridelessness. So for us to acquire knowledge and even to take up this path, first thing one has to do is to give up pride. And not only in one instance, always. Sada dambam nitvam. So the rest of the analysis is based on manasiksha, which are the instructions to the mind by Raghunandas Goswami. And I'm speaking from the book of Her Grace Gurmila Mataji. She has collected the commentaries of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also other devotees like His Holiness Sivaram Swami and His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Goswami and others. So what I thought is I will touch upon few aspects based on what is given in Manasiksha. It is said that we have to give up pride. And that's the reason why this entire journey of the demigods is happening. They are approaching Lord Shiva because of the pride exhibited by Daksha. Now if we analyze ourselves, why don't we give up pride even after understanding so much about it. The reason is that pride in itself acts as a shield, and we seek protection under that shield. Just like if you are walking in a terrible winter and I am asking you to take off all your clothing, how embarrassing or how torturous would that be? Similarly, the conditioned soul is so much attached to the various designations and roles that it takes up in this material world. And because you are playing a particular role, you are given a particular position and then power and all that which comes with those roles that we are playing, they seem to act as a shield and we seek protection in that. Nobody wants to give up such kind of a protection because it gives a sense of feeling that I am worth of something. And when we are asked to give up that particular shield which is protecting us and take complete shelter of Krishna, then what happens is we are fearful. What if I give up all that pride and I act humbly as Krishna is saying? Now, what if somebody takes advantage of my pridelessness and my humility? It may happen sometime. We may be taken advantage of our humility. And this is one of the fear why we don't give up pride. At the same time, without giving up pride, one cannot begin one's spiritual journey. So, if we have to give up those false covering, then we have to take up the actual protection or covering which Krishna offers. So, Krishna does give the guarantee that whatever sins you may have committed, he says, even if you have committed the most abominable sins, if one takes up the path of knowledge, he can burn all those sinful reactions. And finally he says, Masuchaha, do not fear. But because we are transitioning from a conditioned state to that of a surrendered person, there will always be a fear of giving up those roles that we have taken up. As we are playing, even within the path of bhakti, even within the devotional life, we will be asked to do various services for which we have to play different roles. Now, when we are asked to give up pride, does it mean that we give up all those roles that we are playing and not do any devotional service at all? That's not what the Goswamis mean. And they mean, give up your pride. What they are asking you to do is take a step-by-step process. That's why this entire instruction to the mind is called padati. It's a step-by-step guide. So the first step is to have an internal desire at least to give up pride, and in various circumstances keep trying to give up pride in the roles that we are playing. Even though externally we may be playing that role, but internally there has to be an awareness that I must give up pride. So there is an external role that you play, and then there is an internal cultivation and there is an internal progress that's happening. So in that sense, we continue to play our roles at the same time keeping in mind that I shouldn't be proud. Initially, when we start to take up Krishna consciousness, right, we are more enthusiastic, and as we take up the process, what happens is we want immediate results. This is also a sign of pride. I want God to appear in front of me right now. Whatever the practices that I am doing, I want results right now. Such demands, even though we have within ourselves in a very subtle way, it's also a sign of pride. Because we are demanding the Lord to reciprocate. It is again a sign of pride. Then as you go through this journey, then you will start to get inspired by the sadhus. Then you may even take up initiation from among them and accept a spiritual master. You will start to read the books little deeper. Then you will be given a chance to preach to others. At that time you will start to see that the word that you are speaking is influencing others. So the moment you see that you are able to influence others, if you don't remember that the message that you are speaking is coming from the spiritual master and by his mercy only that I am speaking, if you forget that, then you, the fact that you are seeing people are being influenced by you, that will lead to another pride. Another way of becoming pride is you seeing how you are able to influence others by your activities, by your speech. This is another form of pride. Now, in the path of surrender, as I mentioned earlier, one comes up with various stumbling blocks. Now what we will do is we will take a slight detour and look at other stumbling blocks which come in our way. This famous combination most of you would know. Lust, anger, greed, madness. And we will see how pride also will fit into one of these stumbling blocks which is mentioned. Starting from kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. So relating back to the scene which we saw in the Kailash, so it is very easy for the senses to start to contemplate on the objects. There's a beautiful lake, beautiful vision, nice smell, then nice air, all this is starting to create a sensation. When the senses are starting to contemplate on the objects of the senses, then you start to develop attachment to it. So then what happens next? Most of you would know. After contemplation comes, what happens? You start to develop attachment. So we are starting to see that lust is starting to appear at the level of sense objects. Then you contemplate more, then you start to like, I like to do this, I want it, I will be happy only if I have it. So it's starting to, liking, disliking is the function of mind, so lust is starting to get to the level of mind. Then when it actually appears, then you have to make plans to get it, which means planning involves intelligence. So which means I need the sense objects, I cannot live without it, now I need to get it. Which means I have to work, get the money, go get the sense objects. So how do I plan to work to get the sense objects? So all the planning, execution, all that. So lust is starting to occupy the level of intelligence. So now, if the lust is not satisfied, what happens? Anger arises. Anger, as we know, is the in the mode of ignorance. So what anger does is it destroys. So any person who is blocking me from enjoying my sense object, I will destroy him. For destroying, I need anger. So anger plays a role in that way that you are trying to get rid of persons also. affecting your sense enjoyment. And if you look back, this analysis will exactly apply to Prajapati, structure. So as we progress, we will also simultaneously see how it is applying to Daksha. And most importantly, as I am going through this analysis, I was able to see personally how much I am overcome by all these stumbling blocks. And I will request devotees to also do this as we are analyzing this, to analyze ourselves also. Now, the pathway, the lust, if it is not satisfied, it turns into anger. Now what happens if we satisfy the lust? Yeah, burns like fire, creates greed. Lobha, that's greed. So the sense objects are in contact with the senses. Now the senses keep demanding, they never get satisfied, they are like fire. Dushpurayana, analena, cha. So they won't be satisfied and they keep on asking, and as a result of it, you will start to get into, become more greedy. So when you are greedy, you lose all your shame and you may engage in activities which you normally don't. And at this point, you are not even able to stop desiring because it has gone to a very intense state and you have even given up your shame and you can do anything. Now if in this path, if you are blocked from accessing your sense objects and if you are restricted from it by a superior force, then what happens is a sense of fear also starts to creep in. This is called as bhaya. And Krishna describes this as vita raga bhaya krodha. So fear comes into picture, and then these emotions, as you see, these are all negative emotions and they are starting to take you back. As you are trying to progress in your journey to surrender, these emotions are trying to pull you back. By the influence of all this, lust, greed, anger, and then fear, what's happening is your intelligence is slowly becoming numb. Just like a patient who is going to take an operation, he is given an anesthesia so that he becomes totally unconscious. Now what's happening is these emotions are making us totally unconscious and they are putting us into illusion, moha. So this is a sequence. We can understand how we are starting to degrade. So in this illusion state where I am thinking that this is my relative, this is my father, this is my husband, this is my wife, and you start to extend that illusion to others around you. And you start, when I say this is my husband, this is my wife, so the center is who? They belong to me. I am her, so the relationship is more towards you. And then this extends to the objects that you have, house, paraphernalia, all that. Now these things belong to me. Now as this is growing, we tend to get proud. And this is how one of the vices, there also pride plays a picture. Mother means pride and manners. So we start to think ourselves to be very important. Now in that attitude, if we come across a person respecting us, then we immediately feel humiliated. And this is exactly what happened to Daksha. It was a great sacrifice. He walks in as the center of attraction. He was so effulgent that the followers of the other demigods also seem to be diminished, and he is the center of attraction according to him. And then he is seeing objects around him, people around him, everything, everybody is glorifying him, everybody is respecting him, except two people. One person, Lord Brahma, of course, is able to tolerate the disrespect. But when Lord Shiva did not respect him, immediately his false pride got hurt. And he got so humiliated that this person, despite having bad looks, bad face, and he starts to describe all the external appearances of Lord Shiva, which is bad, despite all this, he is not respecting me. Looking back in our own lives, we may be playing roles in different projects. And depending on the life cycle of the particular project, a person may be asked to play a prominent role, and others may be, they may be asked to step back, or they may be stepping back voluntarily so that you can play your role. When creation is happening, Prajapatis have a primary role because they are meant to create progeny, and they are performing that particular activity of creating progeny. So at this cycle of the project, creation is more prominent. And so you are allowed to do your work, and depending on how exalted your consciousness is, you will also see other personalities around you who also have a role to play in the project, but you won't look down upon them, because when their particular role comes, they will also do their activity. Brahma, in this particular chapter, describes the power of Lord Shiva. He can vanquish the entire universe. But that's not the time. Because he is keeping quiet, sitting in a place and meditating, and because now it is the time for creation and Prajapati, their role is happening, you might think, what is this guy doing in the project? He doesn't do anything, just sits here and does nothing, and he doesn't even respect me. So my role is more prominent, and this person's role at this stage doesn't seem to be of much use. Now, this person is bound to respect me, but still he is not doing it. This will happen to us. So we will be put in some projects where we are asked to step up and take up a role which others may have played before, and they will be allowing us to step up at this point and play a particular role, and we may be in the center stage. We may even delegate tasks to others and ask to do things to others and get things done. And this will happen, even you may ask things to your superiors to get things done, because you are playing a particular role. But if the role gets into our head and we start to think that, okay, this is how I am, I will be eternally in the center stage always, so that is a sign of pride. And due to that reaction, so because our intelligence, or because we are, it's as if like we have taken anesthesia, we are named to the what's happening outside. We tend to disrespect people who are in a much exalted position, which normally we wouldn't do. So in this case, Daksha is playing that role of a person who is overcome by love.
Right.
From the point of view of analyzing different aspects of pride, because we have looked at how pride is a part of one of the stumbling blocks. Now we can look at how there are different aspects of pride. One of them we covered is, one of the aspects of pride is being illusion. You are satisfied by your own material accomplishments and you are happy with it. This is one aspect of, or one of the elements of pride. Because these elements are very subtle and they need to be differentiated, and that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done. He has given six different elements of pride. One of them is illusion. We saw how illusion happened because of all those emotions. If we can overcome and our intelligence is overcome by those feelings, and we fall into illusion. And that's what the sequence, the Ayata Ushayam Bhujarabhata says, towards the end Krishna said. And then when intelligence is overcome, then you fall down. I forgot the verse. Buddhi nasa pranashati. So yeah, when buddhi is lost, then you fall down. So second element of pride is deceit. This is where one is satisfied with all the externals that he is doing in spiritual life. And this applies to all ashrama. One may be satisfied thinking that, okay, I'm wearing saffron and I'm a renunciate and I'm satisfied with it, and the fact that we are aspiring to be renunciants, that also can create a pride in us, because we see others who are not so renounced and we may tend to look down upon them. So just being satisfied with the externals, mannerism, the birth that you have taken, the work that you are doing, all that is one of the elements of pride, that's called deceit. Next element is called pretense. You are pretending. This can be explained easily with the definition of pure devotional service. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karmati anavinam. So any other desire other than to please Krishna, that is pretension. If you are doing bhakti with any other desire other than to please Krishna, that is pretension. And that is a sign of pride. Rather than practicing devotional service to attain love for Krishna, if you are practicing devotional service to gain something else, that is pretense. Ignorance. Ignorance is basically you're forgetting your spiritual identity. Who am I? Why am I here? And what's my actual position? When we forget that, and that ignorance is also a sign of pride. Deviousness is another element which is very close to deceit. It's very close to pretense, is that we start to develop other motivations. This will happen when we are starting to get facilities, when we are starting to get recognized, and then we will try to have, okay, this is my territory, this is my particular zone, and when others try to enter that, okay, then we may not be very pleasant. And this is a similar mentality we may exhibit, and the mentality which Pradapati Daksha is exhibiting. This is my sacrifice. I am the owner. And if somebody doesn't respect me, then I can even curse them. I can do whatever I like. Because your motivation has changed from pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why originally the sacrifice is meant to be done. But because the purpose is lost, then all the other reactions took place. And the final element of pride, which is the most devastating, is offense or aparada. That is also an element of pride. So if we apply this in this entire sequence of Daksha's episode, Daksha being overcome by pride and exhibiting different elements of pride, he is playing the role of a conditioned soul. And as I mentioned earlier, we have to start look at these details and make sure that we don't fall to one of the family God, which is pride. And we should be constantly aware of this and cultivate the habit of giving up pride in all circumstances. Now, having looked at the stumbling blocks and elaborately looked at the element of pride, and what's the solution? The elements of knowledge, items of knowledge as described by Krishna, begins with humility. That humility is the medicine for giving up pride. And Srila Prabhupada writes, humility means you don't expect too much respect from others. Paraphrasing his words. Not being anxious to be honored by others. So this again, the aspect of humility is also a very deep topic. And we need to start developing. Personally, I have a long way to go in developing and making attempts to do that. But this particular section, when as I was reading, was giving so much details about pride. And that's what it's meant. It is a step-by-step guide. And this guide is giving exact details. And this guide did not stop with just giving the problems. His Holiness Sivaram Swami, he goes on to explain how to overcome this. And he gives it in a very nice way. It is as simple as a real Krishna book. But what are the sections that we need to focus on? He goes into more details on these exact words. Shakatasura, the cart demon, personified pride, which arose from residual bad habits carried from previous lifetimes. So, it becomes obvious to us, when we are reading the pastimes of Krishna killing different demons, we have to have an open heart. And these demons represent various bad qualities, and one of them is pride. And the different aspects of pride are being brought up. So Sakatasura represents pride coming from bad habits from previous lifetimes. Next comes Trinamrita. He represents pride which is arising due to scholarly mentality. Janma, Aishwarya, Shuta, by your birth, by your scholarly mentality, by what, how much of knowledge that you have, you get some amount of pride. And Trinadruta represents that particular pride. Kalyanaga represented pride which arises due to crookedness or a devious mentality. So, Kalyanaga, pastime. He also represents pride. I initially thought Kalia represents only envy. Looks like it's also representing pride. Pride is arising due to crookedness or devious mentality. This is closely relating to the aspects of pride, deviousness, pretense, deceit. The sacrificial brahmanas, the Vedic brahmanas or the Yajnik brahmanas personify pride due to position in Varnashram. Actually, there are more details to pride. I won't be able to cover all of them. I'll give a small snapshot of the view. Depending on where you are positioned in the Varnashram, whether you are a Grihastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyasi, pride can attack a person at different levels. As I mentioned, for the renunciants, based on the respect that you are receiving for your dress, for your externals, that can cause pride. And for the renunciant, he could be focusing only to get more funding from materially wealthy person, that he may ignore people who are genuinely interested in Krishna consciousness, because you are trying to collect funds and prove that you are better than others. And these are some of the aspects of pride that may take over a person in the renounced order, because you are always receiving respect from others, you are always getting things, and internally you may start to develop that, okay, I am worthy of receiving this. As far as householders are concerned, the pride may be exhibited in externally being very much focused on devotional practice, but internally not so much strong in doing those activities. So you're just putting up a show and not actually doing, and internally trying to relish the various facilities that are given in the Grihastha ashram. So that's just, it is a topic in itself, because it's got various details. So position in the Varnashram can also lead to pride, and the solution to that is reading the pastimes of the Yati Brahmanas and how their wives gave food to Krishna and Balaram despite being chastised by their, or not allowed by their husbands. Adhishtasura showed pride which arises due to practicing false religious principles. So as we start practicing devotional life, we start to follow regulated principles, and the fact that we are able to follow and do it strictly, that can also lead to pride, and the solution to that is to read Adhishtasura's pastime. Keshi represented the pride which arises from being materially situated in spiritual life, such as being a guru, sannyasi, or in some big position and becoming proud of that particular position. So Kesi demon, and as I mentioned earlier, some of the pitfalls in the renounced order. From these pastimes we can see present the six elements of pride that Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks of: illusion, deceit, pretense, ignorance, deviousness and offense. So Maharaj goes on to explain that one has to read these pastimes with the mood of giving up or clearing one's own anarthas, and especially in this session that we are focusing on is pride. So if one is able to do that, so that being the very first step, giving up pride, not only in one particular instance, but giving up pride always. Other solutions to this are, before beginning any spiritual activity, one has to remember one's spiritual master. And while doing it, those activities, also remember the spiritual master. And at the end of the activities, the results, the success that you get, offer it to your spiritual master. And if you are failing in those endeavors, make sure that you correct your activities, whatever led to such failure. So that introspection and dedicating results to the spiritual master helps one overcome pride. Another solution is to serve people who are senior to us. Dambo Mahat Upasaya. Mahat. So these exalted persons, when we serve them, then our pride gets destroyed. And when they start correcting us, when they start seeing us doing things right and wrong, they give feedback. And if we are willing to receive the feedback and correct ourselves, that will release our pride. And as I mentioned earlier, respect the role which other devotees are playing in a project that you are involved in. You may be in limelight at certain time, doesn't mean that others don't have a role to play or you don't have to look down upon them. Their time will come in there. And there will be a time when, just as you are asked to step up, there will be a time when you will be asked to step down, give up those particular roles, positions, power, everything that you have, and you may be asked to take an inferior role, or you may be even asked to leave the project because it's over and now you are back to where you are. So one, if it is one is having reluctance to give up those, that's also like you're too much attached to them and you don't want to give up. These are some of the ways by which we can overcome the stumbling block, and the main thing that we discussed is pride. And this pride is the entire reason for which the demigod was taking this entire journey. Their pride is due to the attribute of pride of Daksha. And we in our spiritual journey, we have to give up this pride at all circumstances so that we can progress further. Stop here. And see if there are any comments, questions.
I was just wondering another aspect of in devotional life. We not only have people superior to us, but also junior and the younger.
Yes.
In terms of dealing with them, how do we deal with them? In a way of humility.
Yeah, okay. So how to deal with superiors, equals and juniors? So it is said in this section itself. You approach everybody in the mood of service. And the Bhagavatam solution is that you respect your superiors and you have a sense of awe and reverence to them and you serve them. You develop friendship with your equals and serve them in that way. And with your juniors, try to be compassionate and share and giving. In that way also you are serving them, but in the role of a person who is trying to show them directions. And many times, who knows, these juniors will come back and teach us. As him, he is already reading chapter a day of Bhagavad Gita and the ocean verses, and he has read up the ninth canto now. Krishna, how many cantos have you read?
I think six, seven, eight, and then
one of the first. Oh, okay. Read up to 8th now, 8th canto now is. So we may think that these people are juniors and we are trying. We don't know how much spiritual progress they have made, and in this life they are continuing and they will shoot off. And at that point of time we should be willing to even learn from them. And that's what the whole Bhagavatam teaches. Sukadeva Goswami is sitting and speaking the whole Bhagavatam. Who is all listening? Vyasadeva, Narada. They are all these other persons. So with the superiors, have a sense of service mood, and with the equals develop friendship, and with the juniors show compassion, and in that way you're always maintaining the mood of service. That's a safe position. I'm personally trying to cultivate many times I fall short of it.
It's just a very interesting subject, so I'm just thinking, if you're in a role, obviously a superior, a manager, a project needs to be done, a task needs to be done. Sometimes some chastisement, some pushing,
a
bit more aggressiveness towards the devotees around you. So how to make sure that it's not offensive, at the same time you have to get something done.
Okay, the question is, if you are playing the role of a manager and you have to get things done for project, and for that reason you have to chastise or push people how they do it. Before you actually start to correct or chastise or do whatever it is, you need to check to make sure if you have set your expectations clearly for them. Do they actually know what they are meant to perform, or to what extent you are expecting them to perform, and what are your expectations? This is the time, this is the place, you have to be in a particular place, and that has to be communicated to them. Okay, so if you have done that and then the other person doesn't seem to be doing it at the particular time, it doesn't turn up. Now, as you said, the pressure is on you and you have to perform. And now if you are in a position to actually step back and think from that person's point of view, okay, he's been traveling and he might be sick, or he might be having some internal conflict that he's going through, or if you're starting to think from his point of view, then you can actually ask them, because I need this to be done and I don't seem that you are able to produce results now. Is there something that's preventing you from producing results or turning up, or is your health okay, your mental well-being okay? So then you start to look from their point of view, and at the same time you say that I am also in a critical position, I need to get this out, or I need to do this too. Now in that sense you are actually saying what you need to say, and you're also looking at this whole problem from their point of view, and you are able to look at it. And then if you are able to help the person to perform, step up and do it, otherwise you find another person to get things done and you move on. But at the same time, after the project is over, or when you have some leeway time, you have this person at the back of mind, so I need to help you. If you are able to help him from your level, help him. But if you need to get from somebody, help from somebody else to help him, do that. Because in that way you will also progress. Who knows, the same problem that he's facing now you may face later. If you have already faced a problem and you know the solution, then suggest it to him. And as you're suggesting, expect a recovery time from him and set the recovery, like ask for a suitable time up to which that he can recover. And after that, you expect him to perform normally. So that your task is not also compromised. At the same time, you're not just, okay, you are unfit, I'll push you out and I'll push like somebody else, I'll get this done. You may get things done and you may satisfy your superiors, but your peers and your juniors may step back and at some stage you'll be alone. So this is based on the alignment problem, probably can add these in a position. Hope that answers your question. Okay, we conclude here. Rantrasana Pragatam Kiri Dasa.